Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
But we want you to hear some of the stories of what God is doing through your giving. And so we're going to begin today with Kathy Michelle as we support from the Pregnancy Help Center. And Kathy, would you come at this time? We welcome you. Many people have forgotten about the Pregnancy Help Center, but I thank God our church hasn't. So welcome.
Thank you.
It always feels like a little bit of a return home when I come to this place. I feel like I've been here for many years now, and your church has been very supportive of us. We've had board members, volunteers. The church is the work of the Pregnancy Help Center. We don't do our work outside of the ministry of the church. We're not a church in Durham Region. We're an extension of the church. And so if you are looking for volunteer opportunities, I know someone, and I'll be available after the service to speak with you. I only have a short period of time to share, but as I was preparing, we always have our dinner just before your missions week. It works out that way every time. And as I was preparing to speak, I was looking at some research in Ontario. Because for a lot of us, we don't think of our own area as the mission field. There was an infographic that was published by the Stats Canada that showed hopefulness. Did you know that our government tracked hopefulness? And that the hopefulness in Ontario particularly has dropped by 11% since 2016. And one of the most hopeless groups are the 15 to 24-year-olds that believe there is no future for them. And so as we were singing this morning, I wanted to declare something while I'm up here. Jesus, your name is life. God calls us to life, and He will give us everything we need to have that. And so one of the things that I want to announce with you guys this morning, because you always get to know about our things first, because we normally announce them at the dinner, but we have a new program that we would like to start with grades 4 to 8. We will be piloting it in local churches and in Christian schools to start. As most of you know, we have a high school program that goes into the Durham Public High Schools. But we would like to start teaching children early about the wonder of who they are. If you talk to your kids about life, about babies, typically in school, we will start sex education very early, but we don't do any prenatal development. Mostly because it really interferes with an abortion agenda if kids know that that's a baby. And so our program is called Wonderfully Made. And I'd love to talk with Ruby wherever you are after the service. But we want to start piloting it with some young kids, because here's what we know from Scripture. That when we teach our children when they're young, when they're old, it doesn't depart from them. Thank you so much, guys, for all your support. We really cannot do it without you.
Praise God. Thank you. And now we're going to have Candace Marshall from our missions committee. She'll be reading on behalf of Jeff Snow, who heads up a program for the university students at our college students at Durham College.
On behalf of Jeff Snow.
Our campus church ministry at Ontario Tech University and Durham College got off to a great start this September with over 50 students showing up to our two welcome events. Throughout the semester, we've arranged about 40 students at our Friday night refresh gatherings. We have a small group Bible study led by students every day of the week, both at the main North Campus and at the Durham College Whitby Campus. We regularly have outreach events where we set up banners in the main atrium that ask students about students' perspectives on worldview and spiritual matters. We found this year that while we may engage as many students as before, the conversations last a lot longer than in previous years, some lasting over an hour. We've had students attend our refresh gatherings as a result of some of these conversations. My role this semester, like most semesters, has been to speak at refresh a couple of Fridays, to organize the community fellowship time after refresh Friday nights, and primarily to mentor and pastor individual students. This semester, I've been meeting regularly with about a half dozen students to talk about faith, discipleship, school, and life in general. Even the students who come from Christian homes and who attend good churches really seem to appreciate another caring Christian adult speaking into their life. I work with two other pastors from the local Durham region to provide support to this student-led ministry. Our desire is to see community built, disciples made and growing, and outreach and evangelism taking place. We have seen a lot of these aspects actively a part of the campus church ministry this year. Thank you so much for your ongoing financial support of my ministry at Ontario Tech University and Durham College. Please pray for me, our other pastors, and our amazing student leaders as we continue to serve Jesus on campus. Thank you.
Amen. And as I said, we support both Jeff at Durham College, and we also have another ministry that we do at the other college, I just blanked, Humber College. And we wish we could get into all the colleges, because when the kids go off to college, that's where they become radical, that's where their faith is tested, and where the professors will speak down against religion and embarrass them so that they begin to lose hope in their faith. May we always remember to pray for them. At this time, I'm also blessed to have from Christian Faith Outreach Center that we just started supporting, where they have been looking after many of the refugees, over almost 400 that came through, Marla Walters. Those of you that didn't hear in the beginning, she was coming to represent missions, and she is such an incredible worship leader. I stole her talent for our house because she's gifted of God, and she is the mission leader there. So we just got a blessing doubly today. Would you come and share what God is doing at your mission?
Praise God. Good morning, church. Thank you so much for having us, Pastor Marie. We at Christian Faith Outreach Center, we are in downtown Ajax, just across from Town Hall. And we currently have a homeless shelter, low barrier, for 50 individuals. So we support individuals who are 18 years and older. And we have 50 beds. And every day we're turning people away because we're at capacity. And God has also saw it fit to allow us to be the central hub for where many of the refugees who are coming into Durham region have come. So in our Ajax Hub, which is a community space that supports homeless individuals and people at risk for losing their housing, they come into our hub, we feed meals, we do showers, and we have access to a lot of the partnering agencies that come in that have housing supports. And so we've seen over 500 refugees come in through our Ajax Hub into Durham region. Currently, we have about 100, and I think the last count that I got was 110 individuals who do not have housing. So they are at risk to be sleeping outside if there were not creative ways that our church was able to look to have them supported overnight. And so there is a great need in our community. And so our ask to the Lord is, Lord, how can we continue to support these individuals? And he has said, keep your doors open. Don't turn anybody away. So that's what we're doing. And through your support and your giving, we're able to increase our support to these individuals by providing additional meals, showers, extending our hub hours so that we're open later, and welcoming them in. I've had to expand our team as well and hire new staff. And so this is such a great opportunity that we have in, here in Durham, to have people come and bring their giftings into our community. So thank you very much for this opportunity, Pastor Marie.
Amen.
I encourage you, if you can volunteer at Christian Faith Outreach Center. They always need more people to keep that rotation, to keep all of that. And I'll tell you, the refugees coming in, many of them are doctors and engineers and great people who, you know, paid their way to come here, and the fallout is here. And so, you know, God has gifted and blessed us to be here, but we are also gifted and blessed to help others who are coming in. And if you have a basement apartment that you're not using, or your kids have moved out, would you consider opening your home? They're very well vetted by CFOC, and you can contact them and ask how you can do this. They do short term just so they can transition to something. Many of them are getting their documents so they can work, and they're very hard workers. If you've got something where you could hire them, contact them. If you've got time on your hands, Christians, the reason we get into so much trouble is we are bored. And so you don't need to be bored when there's so much volunteer work that can be amassed, both with Kathy, even at the Pregnancy Help Center, and with CFOC. We're providing you the opportunities to keep your heart pumping with joy in serving Jesus. Amen? At this time, I'd like to introduce our morning speaker, Reverend Gary Stagg. Reverend Gary Stagg's passion for the plight of the oppressed and the marginalized Christians worldwide was first ignited during an investigative and life-changing missionary tour through a restricted access nation. Since then, he has encouraged social justice, both as a mandate of faith and as an expression of Christian maturity. Gary studied education and theology and has used his training to structure his passion for helping people stand firm in their faith and embrace a missional lifestyle. For more than 30 years, Gary has been involved in full-time ministry with an emphasis on the revitalization of Christian communities and the establishment of systems for assimilation and discipleship. Gary now serves as the executive director of Open Doors Canada, part of an international ministry strengthening the persecuted church for more than 65 years in more than 70 countries. So Open Doors has been in operation for over 65 years in over 70 countries, and they're seeing more and more countries are facing persecution. Would you open your heart and open your heart's mind? He will share some things that are risque, and he has to, and as he shared with me, he's sharing at a level 3, both because there's still some kids in the house, and because we're online and we don't know who will be listening at one point. But in a smaller setting, if he was to share a level 4 and above, you would be crying, you would be shaking. But those are realities that as a church, as Christians, not as a church, we're not like that. We're PPC. But as Christians, many Christians just want the light and the trite, and they don't want to hear the reality. When you watch the news and they say to you, babies have been burnt up by Hamas and shot up with 20 bullets in them, we're like, oh, don't say that. It just makes me. But the reality is, if we shut out ourselves from the things that are happening, then we allow the devil to make it worse. Would you welcome Reverend Gary Stagg?
Amen. It's opportunity. How is everybody doing? I'm not doing that great either, so that's okay. Don't worry, that's all right. No, I'm doing pretty good. I'm supposed to get an extra hour of sleep, but somebody didn't tell my dog that, so he woke up at the regular time and got me up, and so here I am. Good morning. God bless you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come today to represent the many brothers and sisters who live with high levels of persecution every day simply because they follow Jesus. Today, we live in a world where 1 in 7 Christians face severe opposition for what they believe. That's more than 360 million Christians today who suffer high to extreme levels of persecution. And if you happen to live in Africa, the stats change to 1 in 5. And if you happen to live in Asia, the stats change to 2 in 5. So as a Christian, where you live in the world today really does matter. And we can be grateful that we live in the great country of Canada. So what does this persecution look like if we are one of those men, women, and children behind those numbers? I can throw out all kinds of numbers today, but what's behind those numbers is what matters. And that persecution could mean being rejected by your family and community, losing access to your children, and finding yourself living on the streets. It could mean being forced to choose between keeping your children safe or following your Christian beliefs. It could mean being threatened, raped, beaten, or even killed. It could mean running for your life because you are being hunted down like an animal. Persecution, when we talk about persecution, people automatically go to the area of violence, but persecution doesn't always manifest itself in violence, but it is always cruel and it is always unjust. We have, however, seen, and Pastor Marie alluded to this morning, that we have seen a real uptick in violence recently, a dramatic uptick in the violence that's happening to Christians around the world. 5,621 is a big number, and that's the number of Christians that we have recorded as being killed specifically for their faith just in this past year. That's 80% higher than just 5 years ago. Can you imagine? It's escalating just that much, 80% higher. And Open Doors only records those incidents that we can actually verify. In reality, much persecution, including the killings, happen in very rural areas, behind closed doors, or in prison camps. And so it's likely that the recorded figures are just the tip of the iceberg. But even then, the numbers are up 80% in 5 years. Today, I could take you to North Korea, where it is the most dangerous place to live as a Christian. If you are caught as a Christian or even with a Bible, you and your whole family will likely be sent to a brutal labor camp where you will either starve or be worked to death. I could take you today to places like China, where digital persecution is on the rise, where your whole life is being monitored. And I could talk about the persecution that comes with the rise of religious nationalism in places like India and places like Pakistan, where if you are not a part of the religion of the land, then you're going to be sure to have a hard time. But the area that we're seeing the greatest rise in violence today is in sub-Saharan Africa. And the epicenter of that whole thing is the country of Nigeria, where last year 14 Christians per day lost their lives because of following Jesus. And it's spreading around the other countries as well around Nigeria. And this year's research reveals that out of 10 countries in the world where Christians experience the most violence for their faith, 7 of those are now in sub-Saharan Africa. Every year, thousands of Christians are killed for their faith by Islamic militants. Every year, thousands more lose their home, their lands, their livelihoods. Their aim is to destabilize families, to extinguish faith, and to crush the life of the church. But thank God today that the church is still alive and still going strong. Open Doors strives to connect Canadian Christians with these family members around the globe, providing truthful research, information, and especially prayer resources so that you can pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters. Well, you may ask today, why does all of this matter? Here we are living in Canada. What is it? What does any of this matter to me? Well, let me tell you why it matters. First of all, I believe it matters because it matters to God. It matters because God places a real emphasis on the body of Christ, and that has implications for us. The truth is, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, there is only one body, and when one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And when one part is honored, all parts are honored. It's difficult for us to grasp truly grasp the full meaning of that verse, because we live in a culture that celebrates independence. We like to be independent over interdependence. We haven't learned that very well as Christians in North America. But the early Christians saw very much meaning here that was tied to the sovereignty of God. And the idea is that if God in his sovereignty allows you to experience suffering for some reason to accomplish his purposes somehow, because we are in the body together, your experience of suffering is not just for you. Your suffering is for me as well. And it's because we are connected through Christ that God accomplishes his purpose in me through what happens to you. I know it sounds, we back in the early church, they call it the mystical body of Christ. They understood this interconnectedness in the body of Christ. And it says, when you are honored, I am honored. We're all in this together, in other words. And as we relate that to the global body of Christ, we recognize that we are connected to our persecuted family members, and that God's purposes for them and for us are interrelated. From God's perspective, their suffering is our suffering, and their victories are our victories. So it matters. It matters because we are all a part of the same body. It also matters because the persecuted church, I believe, has so much to teach us about what it means to follow Jesus in a world that's becoming increasingly hostile to the things of God. Have you noticed that lately? We live in a world that's becoming increasingly hostile to the things of God and his word. And the persecuted church gives us real life examples of what it means to follow Jesus with undivided devotion so that Jesus Christ becomes preeminent in our lives. I'm glad that we don't have persecution in Canada like we see in the Open Doors World Watch List, where it outlines the top 50 countries, it ranks them, the top 50 countries in the world where it's most dangerous to live as a Christian. I pray that we will never be on that list. I really do. But we do feel the escalation of secular intolerance towards Christianity here in Canada and in the West. And we don't know what the days ahead are for us. In that regard, we don't know what's coming 10, 15 years down the road. We know that the lines are being drawn even today, and that we know that something is coming, and we need to be ready. And my friends, the brothers and sisters that are in the persecuted church have so much to teach us. So what if it does come? Where will we look to? Who will we look to for modern day examples of how we can respond in a godly way and keep our head above the storm as we sang today? I'm always challenged when I visit persecuted Christians and I see their faith amid such injustices and atrocities. The vibrancy and the resilience of their faith humbles me. They boldly spread the gospel in some of the most dangerous places. And they do it at great cost, sometimes losing their families, their livelihoods, and even their lives. They have that undying devotion to Jesus, and they would rather die than deny him. These are some of the greatest missionaries in the world today that are in places where you and I would never be able to go. And I'm not talking about just surviving. These Christians are thriving, and they're shining the light of Christ in some of the darkest places on earth, and they're seeing God move in incredible ways. I'm reminded of how in the book of Revelation, it reminds us that the ultimate victory actually comes through the persecuted church. Did you know that? We read in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 12, 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. That's their testimony. But is that your testimony today? Is that your testimony today? Would you be willing today to give it all to follow Christ? Would you be able to lay it all down? If somebody came to you today and held a gun to your head and said, renounce your faith in the Lord Jesus, what would you do? What would you do? You may remember the story of Jesus calling Simon and Andrew in Luke chapter 5, the two fishermen who were casting their nets into the sea. When Jesus says, he comes to them and says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it says immediately they left their nets and followed him. He says he went along the shore a little further and saw James and John in their boats mending their nets. And immediately he called to them and they left their father in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. I don't know if you notice what's going on here. The first two, it says, left their nets. The second two left their father, left their dad. You see what's happening? These two things represent some of the things that we hold most precious and prominent in our lives. The very things that often give us the sense of meaning and security and significance, our careers and our families. And yet, Jesus claims them both. He claims them both. They left their nets and followed him. They left their father and followed him. It's not to say that these guys never fished again, and it's not that they didn't love their father. In fact, the text doesn't even say that Jesus asked them to do that. I find that amazing. Jesus said, just come follow me. Why did they do it? They did it because they were so compelled. There was something in Jesus that caused them to give up everything. Because all of a sudden, when Jesus says, come, follow me, he becomes preeminent in our lives. In my work, I regularly hear of another young person who has been thrown out of their home and completely cut off from their family. When it's discovered that they are that they've become a follower of Jesus, in some cases they lose their lives through honor killings, and yet these young people love Jesus so much and are so devoted to him that they would rather die than deny him. Like a young girl named Fatima, a girl in her early 20s living in Saudi Arabia, one of the most hostile places to live as a Christian. She wasn't always a Christian. In fact, she was born a Muslim. After coming to Christ, she so desperately wanted to share her faith that she started blogging under an alias, which translated means content. She had found contentment. The feedback was so intense. One person wrote back in response to her blog and said to her, "You worship a foolish, crucified, cursed Lord, and if I had my hands on you, I would slaughter you twice." Her response was grace-filled, but it was resolute. And she wrote back and said, "The Messiah says, 'Blessed are the persecuted,' and by God, I am unto death a Christian." Fatima eventually got the courage up to take the bold step to tell her family that she had become a Christian, and this huge argument broke out. And the next day she returned because she had to go away. It got so heated that she went to visit a friend, and when she came back, her brother had broken into her room and he was sitting on her laptop, and she was terrified because she knew that the picture on her desktop was the picture of a cross. Many of her writing blogs were still open on her desktop. She said that when she walked into the room, her brother was burning with rage. She decided to lock herself in the room as a measure of safety. She jumped online and wrote a blog to her followers simply entitled, "I Am in Big Trouble." And over the next 4 hours, she asked all of her followers to pray for her. Shortly after this, though, Fatima's brother returned to her room. He burned her face. He burned her back. I won't tell you how he killed her because there are children in the room, but he killed her. And so indeed, she was a Christian unto death. In another passage in Luke chapter 9, they're going along the road and someone says to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Well, I don't know if you've counted the cost because I am homeless. And you might be too if you follow me." And then there are others on the road in this passage, and they say, "I'll follow you, but first let me go and do this. First let me go and do that." And Jesus says, "No, no. No one puts their hand to the plow and looks back. If they do, they're not fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus asking now for our undivided devotion. Nadia and her son were on the way to a Christian retreat in the country when terrorists attacked their bus. The terrorists asked each person on the bus to convert to Islam or die. She was at the back of the bus, but they stopped next to her son, Hani. Nadia watched from the back of the bus, and she saw Hani raise her wrist, exposing a cross tattoo, and then she heard his last words. "No, I am a Christian. I am a Christian." And Nadia says this. She said, "Maybe you think I'd rather have seen my son make a different choice. And of course, as a mother, I'm terribly sad and angry that I lost my son. But I am happy that I witnessed the faith that I raised him in. I'm thankful that he wouldn't deny Christ even with his life in danger. He made the right choice, and that's been a huge comfort to me." Nadia survived the bus attack despite being struck by a bullet in her arm. She says, "Without God's comfort, I would have gone crazy." She says that her favorite Bible verse is Matthew 10, verse 28. "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And she says, if I meet the attackers of my son and they kill me for my faith, I'd be happy. Then I would go and I would see my son in heaven. But she says, "But I pray that they will be touched by God so that they will change their ways." We often think, wouldn't it be so awesome to be one of the 12 that followed Jesus all around, one of the original 12 that followed him everywhere. But then we remember that history tells us that they were all martyred for their faith. And that Jesus often brought these disciples into some of the most hostile environments. And my friends, I want to tell you today that we will not fare well in this hostile world if we do not have undivided devotion to Jesus, and if he does not become preeminent in our lives to the point where we say, "Jesus, I give it all to you. I lay down my life for you if I need to." I pray that we will never have to suffer that kind of persecution that I've been describing today. But I do pray that you will give Jesus his rightful place in your life. And I also pray that you will stand in prayer with our family members who are suffering for their faith today. If you want more information, scan the QR code on the screen. It's also in the foyer. I have prayer resources. The number one thing when I ask persecuted Christians, "What can we do for you?" The number one thing always is pray for us and don't forget about us. God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. I trust that our hearts are wide open as we consider the privileges God has given us in this land of freedom, and we do not take it lightly. Next week, as we remember November 11th, those who fought for us, but that's in the physical, but there's a God who fights for us in the spiritual realm, and we need to be fighting for others. Pastor Gary mentioned there's a prayer sheet. There'll be some on the pub tables where the boxes are put, both doors and in the lobby. Would you pick it up? And if all you can do, please pray, read, see, open your heart so that we do not become so cold and callous that we only pray for our own family, our own needs, but never for those being persecuted in the world. At this time, I want to make an appeal to you as we bring back to you our mission goal. Our mission goal is to raise $215,000 in this two weekends. And we know we have our giving methods that are powerful. I know that some of you are not ready to give immediately, but if you want to fill out a pledge form, they're on the table online. You can go online and give. The many modes are there. And if you can't give it right away, but you're going to commit to it, the pledge form is there. We ask you to fill it out, and please be committed to it even when things change. Why we ask you to just pray and ask God to give you a figure and give it in cash, give it from your account, give it through direct giving, give it through online giving, do it through any ways, is because sometimes we make the pledge, but life changes and then we forget about the pledge. But your pledge is your commitment unto God so that those that are suffering for His name's sake, that we will never say to them, we cannot help them. And so that's what we ask. And I want you to remember what He says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 to 12. Here's what the Lord says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 to 12. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And I love verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks unto God. I want to say to us, if we want to thank God for the freedom we have, the blessings we have, let us extend to the rest of the world. As we support those missionaries, we should never say to one of them, oh, we didn't receive enough in our missions collection offering, so we have to cut you back. We need to be increasing what they have, never decreasing. And I pray that you would not just give out of what you think you have, but you would give out of what God tells you in your heart to give. Give lavishly, give hilariously, give with joy, give with prayer, give with thanksgiving, and watch how God will restore all to you. At this time, I want to just pray and ask God to bless you as you bless the nations of the world. Would you just bow your heads with me in prayer right now? Father, you have so blessed us that we are living in this nation of Canada and North America. We know this message may go out to the ends of the world, but it will encourage them to know we think of them. We'll pray for them in their need, in their want, in their suffering, in their abuse, in their persecution. And so, God, I pray that each person who gives today would not just give with triteness and give with a nonchalance, but there will be a spiritual generosity, a generosity that touches the heart of the Master to see that we're responding with faith and not with fear. So I thank you, oh God, for what's going to happen in this place as we extend even above and beyond what we have put down as a goal. Father, I pray this goal will be blown out of the water so we can extend even more to others. I pray in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said, amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.